The Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he say unto you, do it." Yes. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and say unto him, "Every man at the beginning do set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we are those water pots of stone. We have no wine in us. And when you come into the life of the believer, you fill us with your goodness. You fill us with your joy. You fill us with your love. You fill us with your compassion. You fill us with a desire for the things of God. Father God, thank you for filling these pots of stone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Interesting story. Interesting story. It says, in the third day, there was a marriage in Cana. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, we can get into a whole lot of wordplay. Because there's a third, there's a sixth. We can talk about those numbers. But a lot of folks don't like preaching this subject. Because they believe that Jesus is either endorsing drinking. You hear all the time. You bring up the story of whether a Christian should drink or not. And then Jesus turned water into wine. You hear it all the time. So that's license to do it. Okay? And then I think about what's going on in Kentucky right now. How many know what's going on in Kentucky right now? Jim Beam. How many know? Anybody know Jim Beam other than Vernon? Jim Beam. Back in the day, before when I was a clay pot, I wasn't a Jim Beam guy. I was a Jack Daniels guy. Well, what they doing in Kentucky? Jim Beam is on fire in Kentucky. 45,000 gallons of Jim Beam is on fire. Okay. Jesus didn't turn water into Jim Beam. Okay? And the fire so bad that the ingredients from the Jim Beam plant is going into the river, and thousands of fish have died. And it's on its way to the Ohio River. There's nothing they can do about it. But my point, there's a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, when you see Cana of Galilee, you know there had to be two Canas. Mm-hmm. So Jesus said, there's two Canas. But this Cana was in Galilee. You know, I was in Barnesville this weekend. Barnesville, I don't know. I talked to the guy that I was in a funeral procession with. He said there's maybe 5,000 people in Barnesville live there. Okay. Cana, historians say there's about only 500 people. Just a very small town. Okay. And it goes on to say, and the mother of Jesus was there. How about that? That's interesting. The mother of Jesus was there. How many know? I'm gonna make some of you guys do some homework. How many know that the Mormon religion teaches that this was Jesus' marriage? Jesus was getting married. They teach that Jesus was married. Anybody know that? Okay, do your research. Talk to your Mormon friends if you have any. But they teach that Jesus was, this was his wedding. We know that's not true. Amen. I hope nobody's sitting there like, that's interesting. I never looked at it like that. No, don't look at it like that. Okay? Jesus wasn't married. Somebody, how do you know Jesus wasn't married? He couldn't be married because he had to be sinless. I'm done with that.
Amen.
Okay? Now, look at verse 2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Isn't it a good thing when Jesus is invited to the wedding?
Amen.
See, we invite Jesus to the wedding, but we don't like invite him to the reception. Okay? See, we invite him to the wedding, but we can't wait till the preacher leave the reception so we can cut loose. Now, both Jesus was called, invited. Jesus was invited to this wedding. He was invited to this wedding. Think about that. When you get ready to marry someone or somebody's getting married, I got to do a wedding this year, and I got to figure it out. Jesus invited. They invited me, but did they invite Jesus? Okay. I believe they invited Jesus. And verse 3, and I'm gonna break this down into four subjects. Mm-hmm. And they wanted wine. They wanted wine. Meaning they was running out. They was running out of wine, which would have been a cardinal sin, which would have been a sin of the highest order in a wedding feast. Okay? We ran out of chicken last week, and it was a big day. You don't want to run out of chicken, and you don't want to run out of wine. And I said, any more chicken left? And Rita said, there ain't more chicken left. Everybody got a piece, though. They ran out of wine. Watch this now. They ran out of wine, and the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Okay? Now, have we invited Jesus into our lives? I'll put the summary in front of the whole sermon. Okay? The miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine was not a license for us to drink or not to drink.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
The miracle of Jesus turning water to wine was a sign of what he came to do. We're that water. Okay? We're that plain water. Some of lukewarm, plain, flavorless water. Okay? And these bodies that we have, I think Paul calls them earthen vessels. Earthen vessels filled with no power. Okay? So that's the sum of the sign. We're the pots. We're empty, filled with water, stale water in some cases, whatever. What do we need to do? We need to realize who we are. Okay? And if God is drawing us and moving us, then the Lord, fill us. Fill us with your power. Listen. As earthen vessels, born without the power of God in our lives, born without the Spirit of God in our lives, none of us in here was born with the power of God in our lives. It has to happen. God has to do a work in us. He has to perform a miraculous thing in our lives. How many know that? Salvation is supernatural. Okay, we may becoming a Christian, we made Christianity so plain, so I wouldn't be interested in it if I wasn't saved already. Honestly, I would have a hard time with the Christianity I see today, because salvation is supernatural. Something has supernaturally happened to you. When you see somebody say, "I'm a Christian," you ought to look for the supernatural. This person ought to look different, talk different, walk different. This ought to be something. Wow. You mean you was dead and God raised you from the dead? That's really what happened. That's really what happened to anybody here to save. God raised you from the dead. But that's strong, ain't it? What's an invitation? Anybody got an invitation? I know Jake can get them all the time. Jack, you got a lot of friends. When you young, you got a lot of friends, you get a lot of invitations. You know, party over here, reception over here, graduation party, baby showers. How many get invitations? Okay. What's an invitation? Jesus was called to this wedding. He was invited. They was requesting what? His presence. His presence. And who was with Jesus? The Bible said his disciples was with him. Reason that I press on the whole invitation thing. Listen, Jesus didn't get invited to a lot of places. Okay. And as Christians, as we really walk this thing out, we're not going to get invited to a lot of places. Okay. Matter of fact, Jesus, the number one place that he came for, he wasn't received. The Bible says in John 1:11-12, it says he came in to his own. Jesus did. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many that received him, okay, to as many that received him, to them, what? Gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's knocking all the time. He's calling all the time. He just wanted to be invited in. There's no rhyme or reason. God is tapping on our hearts now. How does he speak to man? Adversity, circumstances, through the word of God, through the people of God. God is constantly calling your name, constantly asking you to invite him into your life. Constantly. He never stops. Okay? And he loves those who seek him. He loves those who seek him. Amen. The word of God says in Proverbs 8:17, he says, "I love them that love me." Watch this now. "And those that seek me early shall find me." What does it mean to seek him early? What's he saying? Seek him early? Seek him early in the morning? Seek him early in our life? Really, really what it means is put him before some things. Okay? I want to be important to you. And I heard Jake praying. When Jake was praying, you know, he said, this world can bog you down. It can choke out your love for the things of God. It can squeeze you. It can really tighten it up. And if I was to really ask the question, if we was really honest, how much Bible study did we do this week? How much praying did we do this week? Sometimes it's difficult for us to even complete the Sunday school lesson. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying we can get choked out. The cares of this world. And the cares of this world. James in 1:5 says, if any man, watch, if any of you lack wisdom, watch this, let him ask God that giveth to all men, how? Liberally, freely, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. Somebody say, well, I don't know how to work God into my life. Ask him.
Amen.
Ask him. Go to God. Say, God, my schedule is jam packed. Okay. That's what the rich young ruler came to the Lord. When the rich young ruler, when Jesus said, just go sell all you have, come follow me. His schedule was jam packed. And he said, listen, my schedule, it's going to cost me too much to follow you. Amos 5:4. Watch this now. For thus say the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and you shall live. You shall live. You shall live. And folks, let me tell you something. Folks are leaving here every day. We just had in the last 3 or 4 months. Now I count Vernon's cousin just today, and Vaughn's sister, and Toya. We losing folks, and many of us have lost friends and loved ones. Okay. But here's the beauty. Here's the beauty. If they know the Lord, they ain't lost. And you come up to Claire and say, well, I'm sorry about your loss, Claire. I said, well, Dave ain't lost. I know where he at. That should be the hope that we have for all our loved ones. Truth be told, some of us have lost folks. You got a problem. They had a problem at this wedding. Somebody didn't figure out how much wine was needed. Or I like to think maybe somebody said they was going to bring some wine and didn't. You ever had parties like that? We had parties like that. Well, you know, I'm going to bring it. And they don't show up. Okay? But the word of God says that when they wanted wine, you know what the world wants? See the wedding congregation again is a picture of the world. Okay? Wine in the Bible is a picture of joy and happiness. Okay? And the world wants joy and happiness minus a relationship with God. Okay? Heard a singer, he used to sing a song back in the day. I think it was a preacher. And he said, love and happiness. Okay? This is what the world wants. Love and happiness. Love and happiness. You know what? It's hard to have that without Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? Let me say that again. Love and happiness. Reverend Al Green. You did not have a love and happiness without the Lord. How do I know that? Pastor, you talk too much. You think you know everything. I have the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? And the word of God is that God is love. And so without God, it's going to be impossible for you to have love and happiness. Now, you may have happiness minus God because happiness is different from joy.
That's right.
Okay? Happiness is based on temporary. Happiness is based on stuff outside that make you happy. Okay? See, kids are happy. You take them to the swimming pool. Kids are happy. And, you know, Cindy be happy when she go to Gabe's and go shopping. And I'm happy when I'm able to do some of the things that I want to do. Yeah.
Amen.
But joy, okay? Joy is based on your relationship with God. Joy is unchangeable. Okay? Joy is unchangeable. Happiness can come and go. You wreck your car and you can be depressed for weeks. Okay? Jesus says, And Mary says, listen, and when they wanted wine, watch this now. The mother of Jesus say unto him, they have no wine. How about that? The mother of Jesus. You know, John never mentions Mary by name. Y'all pay attention to this. This is an interesting verse because this is Jesus really revealing himself. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Woman wasn't such a, it was a rebuke, but it wasn't disrespectful. Like some people say, well, he really disrespected her. That's our culture. Okay. Now, and the way I was raised, and if my mother say, listen, I need you to do something. And I say, woman, then, you know, it wasn't good. Okay. That's the culture I was brought up in. That'll get you slapped in the mouth. And Rita says, amen. Okay? But that's just the way that's our culture. That's not the biblical culture. In these times, he was just basically saying, lady. But what he was really doing was revealing himself. She knew who he was. She knew that he was born supernaturally. She knew that she had no relationship with a man, and Jesus was truly born of the Spirit of God. She knew that. She knew that he was a different child than her other seven. Contrary to what Catholicism teaches, Jesus had several daughters and at least four other brothers. At least. Okay? Somebody said that would be six. I believe there's a text that would explain it. I didn't write it down. But he was saying, speaking to her as the creator speaks to the creation. Let me say that again. Jesus was speaking to her as the creator, as God in the flesh, speaking to the creation or the creature. Okay? Watch. They have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Remember he said in John, or later in John, I must be about my Father's business. He says, my hour is not yet come. Meaning, the time for me to reveal who I am to the world has not come. Jesus, Mary knew that Jesus was going to do something. She knew that Jesus was going to do something. Okay? She knew him. I've heard people say, well, you know, up until this time, Jesus hadn't performed any miracles. It didn't matter if he had performed any miracles or not. She knew who he was. She knew what the angels said. She knew what the angels said when they said this child is going to be the Savior of the world. This child was going to be the rise and fall of many. She remembered all those things. I think the Word of God said, and she pondered those things. They didn't go away. Watch what Mary says. I think the text says Jesus was informed of the problem. How do we do that? Do we do that today? We go to man first. Okay. Do we go to man first? Because when the problem came up, Mary took it right to Jesus. And somebody will say, well, you know, this is where, you know, some people pray to Mary. And they say, well, Mary, I take your prayers to Jesus. That's a lot of that came out of this text right here. A lot of the Catholicism, the Catholic teaching came out of this text right here. Because Mary takes your problems to Jesus. But we hear no more about Mary in the rest of the Bible. No more about Mary. Okay? And when they wanted wine, I'm reading chapter verse 2-3 again. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not come. Okay? Mary did her job. she informed Jesus of the problem. Okay?
And that's biblical.
Because when we have an issue, we need to take it to Jesus. When we sing a song, take the Lord in prayer. Okay? Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Watch this now. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known unto God. Let them be known unto God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Okay? Then, if I keep reading that text, and it's an interesting one, and it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Show them how much you care. Continue to read Philippians. Finally, my brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What's Jesus saying? What's Paul saying? Paul said, take your request to God, but show God you're serious by living out biblical truths. None of us got it all together. None of us perfect. But work out this thing. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. David understood. He was a man after God's own heart who'd been through the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations. David carried a heavy load. But David said this in Psalms 55:22. He said, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. How about that? Here's David, a man after God's own heart, had to be righteous, but he still made mistakes. He still had trials and tribulations, but he was to say, I shall not be moved. Again, David, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All of us have experienced that. There's not a soul in here that has not experienced that. If you're a child of God, you've experienced that. Jesus' own words, he says, come unto me, what? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of us can't rest. I talk to so many people who can't rest, can't sleep. I thank God, and all of us in here who have no problem sleeping, don't have any sleep disorders or anything, thank God that he gives you rest. Because there's a whole lot of people in this world that struggle with sleep. They can't sleep. They can't sleep. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My yoke ain't like the world's yoke. Okay, some of us got the world's yoke. Some of us know people that have the world's yoke on them, and they just a mess. And the world just pulling them all over the place. They all over the place. Jesus said, my yoke ain't like the world's yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Ask and it shall be given. Take your promise to the Lord. He's a good father. Okay, he says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, you give him a stone? Okay, or if he asks for a fish, you give him a serpent. God ain't that kind of God. Take your problems to the Lord. Mary's teaching us, take your problems to the Lord. Watch this now. She's talking to the servants. She's obviously coordinated this wedding, and she may feel some of the blunt of being embarrassed if they run out of wine. That's a major problem that she's having. And Mary, verse 5, and Mary and his mother said unto the servants, watch this now. These are the last words of Mary in the whole Bible. Okay? You ain't gonna hear nothing else from Mary. Okay, whatever the Passion of Christ cross said, all that, that's just the last words that Mary said. And I love Mary. His mother said unto his servants, whatsoever he say unto you, do it. You know what them servants are? us. Service to us. Okay? I'm old school. I'm old fashioned, man. You still believe that Bible? Change the times have changed. Listen. I'm just going to listen to what Mary said on this one. Whatsoever he say, do it. Okay? Whatever it said, Matthew. Lena, you're trying to twist it. Okay? Because you live in a certain way and you're doing something that you know ain't biblical. Okay? You think in a way that ain't biblical and you want to make the scriptures, you want to squeeze the scriptures into your agenda. Listen, I still remember Dr. Warren at my installation. He said, listen, young preacher, don't preach what you wanted to say. Don't preach what you think it should say. Preach what it says. Okay? And Mary told the disciples or the servants, whatever he said, do it. Do it. Whatever he says, do it. Now watch this. Here's where we come in. Because we these stone pots. We these stone pots at the wedding. Okay? It's a sign. It's a sign of what Jesus came to do. He came to do what the Old Testament couldn't do. Okay? He came to save us, to fill us with his spirit, and to guide and lead us and give us the hope of heaven. Old Testament didn't do that. Old Testament pointed at your sin, told you it was wrong, and that was it. And there were six water pots of stone. These would have been fairly big, fairly nice sized water pots of stone. After the manner of purifying of the Jews. So what the Jews would do when they would purify, they would put their hands in the water and they would lift them up. The water had to run down to the elbows. And they considered themselves purified when they was out in a public situation. Now watch this. It gets interesting. Y'all work with me on my mathematics because it's just fascinating what Jesus did. He said, containing two or three firkins apiece. Okay? Now, a firkin was, here we go, 3 gallons. Okay? So if a firkin had 3 gallons, and there were 6 pots, each pot could hold what? How many gallons? A firkin was 3 gallons. I'm working with this now. Y'all stay with me. Y'all know my math can get behind. 6 pots. A firkin was, 9 gallons. There you go. Thank you, Deacon. A firkin was 9 gallons. Now you had 6 pots. Each pot was able to hold 9 gallons. How much wine did Jesus make? Okay. 9 gallons. 6 pots. 3 firkins. 27 gallons of wine out of each pot. Okay? 27 times 6. 140. 140 gallons of wine out of those water pots. Watch. Jesus said, let me go back. It gets interesting for me. Y'all stay with me. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Fill them with water. Plain old water. Water that would have been used for the purifying of the party, or the dinner party. And they filled them to the brim. What's the point of filling it to the brim? Why did they fill these pots to the brim? Take away any thought that somebody came in and added, now they didn't have them little packs like we have today. Them little Kool-Aid packs. Somebody could have had a big Kool-Aid pack, open it up, put it in water. Say, that was a miracle. They put a Kool-Aid pack in there, a wine pack. Okay? No. Fill them to the brim so there'll be no controversy. No controversy at all. Fill them to the brim. Anybody here want to be filled to the brim?
Amen.
Okay. You go to Katie's Corner Ice Cream Parlor somewhere, and you want that. You want to see them packing it in there, just packing it in, pushing it down, packing it in there. You want it filled to the brim. Okay. You go to Dunkin' Donut, they give you, you don't want to have a cup of coffee. You want that coffee all the way to the top. Okay. Watch this. Watch what Jesus does. He stays away from the whole situation. He don't touch it. Have you noticed that? He's not touching this wine. He's not getting near these stones. Why? No conspiracy. No trouble. No collusion. Y'all know that word. No collusion. Okay? The word came up. No, he's doing all the directive. He's not touching it. Why? Because he don't want nobody to say, well, Jesus snuck something in it. Okay? He's doing a miracle here. And then when Jesus is doing a miracle, he ain't got to touch it.
Amen.
He ain't got to touch it. Just speak a word. He's speaking a word. Here in verse 5 through 8. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he say unto you, do it. You're not going to get a miracle from Jesus. You're not going to get a blessing from Jesus with disobedience. Okay? Because if that had been us in there, in our carnality, and we'd been like, man, come on, man. See, I know me better than most of y'all probably know each other. At least I'm more honest. I'm going to sit here and say, what you going to do? Turn all this water into wine? I was just a skeptic. Okay? And he said, fill them to the brim. He said, fill the water pots and fill them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now. Draw out now. And the controversy, was it wine when they dipped it in, or was it wine when they came out? I don't get into all that stuff. Okay? But he said, draw out now and take it to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Let them taste it. Let them taste this wine that I made out of nothing. Okay? And you know what's a picture of? The world gets a taste of us. The world gets a taste of us as men and women of God. When we've been transferred from water into wine. And now we go out into the world, and the world gets a taste of what a Christian really is. On our jobs, in our homes. But it'd be hard to preach with your wife and kid and four kids in the congregation. You like, well, he says something different than he is at home. Okay? And Karina sneezes. Oh, that was Anthony. He don't count. Listen. And he said unto them, draw out and bear it to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. What did the servants do? What did the servants do that's so important to this story? They did what Jesus asked them to do. Okay? It's so important that we obey. I think that a lot of the lesson we talk about, following instructions, Jesus being almighty, Jesus being powerful, but the word of God speaks so much to us about being obedient. Mm-hmm. Being obedient, it just runs through the scriptures. There's so many scriptures that I could quote talking about being obedient, okay? Children, obey your parents, what? In all things. Why? For this is pleasing unto the Lord. To have obedient children is a blessing. To have obedient grandchildren is a blessing. Okay? But to be an obedient church is a blessing. Okay? For the time has come, 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? What should be the end of people who obey not the gospel? How obedient are we as a church? How obedient are we as leaders? And all of us in a small church, a small gathering like this, most of us in here are leaders. Most of us in here are leaders. We go out into the public, we go out into the world, we go out into our families, and we have to do what? We have to do exactly what the text is saying. Because the end results of us being turned from water to wine, and if you saved in here, you've been turned from water to wine. You've been turned from water to wine. And the reason God turned the water to wine was what? For the wine, that miracle gave God glory. Glory. And God, if God has changed us and is working in our life, we should be giving God glory. We sing what? To God be the glory. How's that go? For the things he has done. What is the greatest miracle known to man? The miracle of John 3:16, the miracle of salvation. Don't get any greater than that. Amen. The greatest miracle is to see someone get saved in here. How many in here would rather win a whole lot of money or see a loved one saved? Seriously. Amen. Seriously. I mean, if we truly had a heart of God, somebody say, I'll give you all this or I'll save five people. Did you know? Which would you take? Seriously. If you have a heart for God, I want to see my loved ones saved. I want to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the world is offering us all this stuff. All this stuff. It's doing everything it can to get us from testifying about the goodness of God. And we are just running after stuff. And we're leaving our loved ones in the dust. You want to see them saved. You want to see them saved. Why? Because when we talk about what God has done in our lives as empty pots, former empty pots, filled now with the joy which wine represents, now we're giving God glory. Verse 10, and he said unto him, every man at the beginning, here's this governor of this wedding party. He said, and every man at the beginning, set forth the good wine, and when men have drunk or well drunk, don't mean they got drunk. It mean they were satiated, that their appetite for water or wine have been sucked. Then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. He knew something was different about that wine. And he didn't know that Jesus had touched that wine. He knew there was something different about that wine. And verse 11 said, this is the beginning of miracles. This is the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth what? His glory. His glory. And his disciples believed on him. His disciples believed on him. Okay. Do you believe? Have you been turned from water to wine? Is that a plea to your heart? Listen, Lord, I hear that man. He preached that salvation stuff every week. Okay? But is that the plea of our heart? And maybe this is not for you. Maybe this is a lesson that you can take and share with somebody on your job, share with somebody in your family. Listen, brother was talking about being made wine from water. He illustrated how we were once water. We was once empty pots full of water, not doing anything, not able to do anything. But God turned us from water to wine, and he can still do that. He's still turning folks from water to wine because the world wants that wine. They want to be happy. They want to be joyful. And we killing each other trying to get it. And some people will do anything to get happiness. Anything. One guy said, we're going to get rich or die trying. Okay? So where we at, folks, as a church, as a people of God, are we willing to ask God to come in our lives or ask God to come into the lives of those that we love and say, you know what? I need to turn. I need to change. I need God to give me the strength to repent from my ways and turn to God. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the miracle of Cana. Cana of Galilee. It's not a miracle about whether you should drink wine or whether you should not. Folk gonna do whatever they want to do anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's about understanding that Jesus Christ came to turn us from water to something sweet, to something good. And he's still calling people. How does he call people? He calls people through the church. Calls people through the word of God. Calls people through the people of God. We're that wine. We're that wine now. Our job is to go out and saturate the world with the love of God, with the knowledge of God, with the wisdom of God, with the understanding of how people need the Lord. People need the Lord. When you look at what's going on in this world, how can we come to church and not understand that this is serious business? This is serious business. Father, thank you for all that you do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.